It reminds me of Muhammad Ali. I don't know if you've ever been to the museum.
I have not.
That brother tells you who he is. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, he told the opponent who he was before when he got in the ring. He would say to people, I'm pretty, I'm big, I'm strong. And he would tell his opponent who he was. It's incredible the way that he spoke to his opponent and told him who he was. But what's interesting is after Muhammad Ali told his opponent and everybody heard, when you hear newscasters talk about him and his legacy, do you know what they say?
They repeat it.
He's
That's
pretty.
What they say.
He's beautiful. He's strong. I'm like,
I love it.
Something. IKR, I Know Right, is a podcast about women for women.
In a world that forces us to choose between extremes, black and white, red and blue, we believe you have more freedom than you've ever grasped. What if there was another approach to the important topics of your life? Things like sex, race, self-image, even FOMO.
What if there was a third way that both culture and religion missed? This season, we're looking for that elusive third way. The way of grace, of challenge, of growth, the way of Jesus. IKR, Real Conversations with Real Women.
Today, we are back with an episode that is sort of linked to the one that we released last week.
That's right.
Last week, we talked about beauty. Mm-hmm. And today, we're actually going to take a step deeper, and we're going to talk all the way into self-image.
Yeah.
And of course, how we think of our beauty is a part of that, but it goes even deeper into how we actually see ourselves, how we describe ourselves, who we think we are, and the journey that we're all on sort of around that. Because beauty is much more than the products that you use. It actually goes all the way into self-image. So we're going to dive a little bit deeper today, but we can't totally separate these conversations because last week, as we started to realize, there is something about women that is connected to beauty. And so you'll hear that those two things kind of bleed in and out of each other. There's a little bit of beauty talk as well that is inevitable in how we talk about the way that we think about ourselves. And we have a guest today, and her name is Alexis. And Alexis, we've asked her for a very specific reason.
Not only is she beautiful, but she has a job that requires her to be in front of a camera all the time. She's a TV news anchor and a reporter in the Cincinnati area. And really, her job is to be appealing physically to people so that they continue to watch her. And so the temptation to overtly care about your image or to fall into a lack of confidence could be overwhelming. But in our conversation with Alexis, we find out it's the best practice to believe what your dad, what your father says about you.
Welcome, Alexis.
Hey, thank you.
It's so good to have you here. Give us a little outline of who are you? What do you do? Where do you live? What's your life like right now? Just a little basic intro.
My name's Alexis Rogers. I'm a reporter and host at WLWT News 5 today. Usually, most people see me with one eye open because it's really early in the morning. So we hit the air, what, like at 4:30?
Wow.
So,
wow.
And I'm on all throughout the day and the weekends and stuff like that. I always get emails from really sweet older women and said, baby, when do you sleep? I said, well, that's a good question.
You don't have an answer.
Hey, you know, I don't want to lie about it, but no, it's been really, really good. I'm originally from the Chicago area.
Okay.
Went from Columbia, Missouri. I got my first job out of school, you know, not during the time when I was in school, in Little Rock, Arkansas. I was at the ABC affiliate there.
Okay.
I was in Little Rock for 2-ish years, and my news director gave me a call one day, like randomly, like, hey, what do you think about Cincinnati, Ohio? And I was like,
what do you think about Cincinnati, Ohio?
I love Cincinnati, Ohio. I really do. And I'll give you 3 reasons why. One, people here are very genuine. Two, you can go down each street and everything is different. And three, there's just so much to do and see, which I understand that has changed over the years, which has been kind of cool to see this renaissance going on. So it's inspiring.
Yeah. So anyway, let's talk a little bit about your job. You, for a long time, I mean, in a long time for how young you are, you have been in a job where there's a, I'm guessing, an image that is expected of you. How would you describe that?
So it's so interesting because it's changing, it's evolving, right? I mean, when I first got into the business, even when I was in college, it was so funny to see so many young journalists look like they were 20 years older than they actually were. Because one, we just didn't know what we were doing. Two, it was an old school way of thinking, like we had to have blazers on, you know, you couldn't show your arms, you know, for women of color or anybody with cool hair. like the whole natural hair thing on air just still what even in what 2010 when I started, it still wasn't like a thing. Like no one knew how to really manage that space, right? And now you're seeing, you know, women of all sorts and types going on air with like natural hair. But it still has to, as I had one manager tell me at a former job, you still need to look groomed and managed. Mm-hmm. Like that was the thing, because they didn't want you, from what he was saying, he didn't want me to be distracting. Because that's another thing. Like if I'm going to go and just change my look altogether, it is a conversation that I'll have with management. Some people find that odd. Others are like, well, I mean, I get it. You know, if you're like on billboards or if you're on other things, they need to make sure that you look like what people don't want to like turn on the TV and be wondering if you are who you are or not.
Latasha, how do you think about your self-image? Like, where has that come from? How did you understand yourself? Has that changed over time?
Well, in terms of my self-image, it's really interesting. There's this picture of me that is super funny and very awkward, but I'm going to describe it. I was raised by my dad. I had just washed my hair, and I had natural, kinky, all-over-the-place kind of hair. And when I was looking in the mirror, I actually thought it was really pretty, but it probably wasn't. I mean, when I look at the picture, it's actually not a good look at all.
Can we get the picture? Put it on Instagram?
I don't know if I'll give you the picture. Okay. It's kind of funny. I may bring it and let you see it. I also had on a robe, a bathrobe. So I just washed my hair. I had on a bathrobe, and I was going to, like, start blow-drying it and flat iron, like, doing the whole thing. And my dad was fixing his car, and he asked me to come outside and, like, hold the wheel to do, I don't know, something mechanical or whatever. Anyway, I had on these boots. I had on his boots. I had on a bathrobe and some clothes underneath it, and my hair was wet. And my dad was like, you are so beautiful.
That's awesome.
Wait a minute. Let me get my camera.
Aww.
And literally, and I'm like, geez. And, like, so these are the pictures of me, like, and so when I look at the pictures as a 42-year-old woman, I'm like, that was the ugliest thing I'd ever seen. But I remember to this day, my dad like, wait a minute, let me stop. Let me go get my camera right now.
He told you that you were enough in that moment.
He did. Mm-hmm. And he actually always did. So it's rare for me that, like, it's actually kind of funny because I see myself in the mirror and I'm like, I'm pretty awesome. And then I might see a picture and I'm like, what in the world is this? Oh, my gosh. But my dad told me that I was beautiful a long time ago, and I just believed him. I mean, it's super simple for me. He just told me I was beautiful, and I believed him.
Absolutely. Wow. I think our parents definitely set a precedent, you know?
Oh, for sure.
Because even like in my industry, you know, I will always, I had to have a conversation with a hiring manager one time, and I decided not to go to that station specifically because of this conversation. But I had to explain to him, I said, I will always be a curvy girl.
That's right.
Like, always. Like, and I actually like it. It's actually fared pretty well for me. So mm-hmm. I'm cool with that. On top of that, realize that like I'm healthy. Like if you are concerned about my health, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. But I'm a healthy person. Mm-hmm. Because literally I had him sit there and look at me and say, you're a great storyteller. You're a really pretty girl, but I just can't stop focusing on your gut.
Mm. Wow.
And the head of HR was sitting right with us at this table. And I looked at him and I said, well, you know, I am very, I find it very interesting how observant that you are or how observant that you choose to be. Mm-hmm. But I'm very okay with who I am and how I am. And I think that's important because whenever you're in a industry where people see you first, hear you later, mm-hmm. you know, it's like you have to be ready for it, mm-hmm. you know? Luckily, I haven't had people be like, that crazy mean to me, but I've seen people can be mean. And if you are not secure in yourself, sure. Yes, you know, absolutely.
The first couple of times, well, nearly every time I speak at Crossroads, I get feedback. The most interesting vein of feedback that I get is from other women about my appearance.
Oh, absolutely.
The first reaction I have is, oh, that kind of hurt a little bit. And then I go, no. You know what? I'm not going to allow this, you know, to affect me. It does hurt a little bit mm-hmm. when somebody says, you don't look good mm-hmm. in that thing. And they're doing it because they have an image of what you should or shouldn't look like. Can you think of particular jobs or teams or people you've worked for with that have required you to bend in a way that made you feel uncomfortable, that made you like, Feel like you couldn't be yourself?
You know, it's interesting. We spend all this time getting experience, but really in our business, experience equates to getting comfortable with yourself. Like, that's literally what it is. I look at young me, like, you know, starting off me, and I look so out of place. Like, my voice, I was trying to be what I thought a news lady was supposed to be, right? Like, I was just like, oh, like, that's how I'm supposed to sound, or I have a naturally deeper voice for a woman, but I was making it, like, even deeper. I think that I was giving, like, Al Green a run for his money. I mean, it was crazy. And now I'm just authentically myself. So when we are on crime scenes and I think that something is heartbreaking, it is heartbreaking to me. Mm-hmm. So therefore, I'm going to say, hey, look, this is a heartbreaking scene out here. What I've just seen is this. Mm-hmm. If I see something that's funny, I'm going to say, this is just crazy as all get out, because that is how I would say that to anybody that I just met, because I never want someone to meet me in a grocery store and be like, oh, you're so much more different than when I saw you on TV, because I'm like lying to myself and you.
So how did you come to a point of confidence?
I think and it's still a learning process. I'm definitely not like a pro at this, right? But I think I got tired of pretending. Mm-hmm. I got tired of pretending. I was like, you know, this is exhausting. I think it's just a little easy just to be me. I mean, at this point. Mm-hmm. And I think also there's so many dynamics. I love to read. I love history. If I could have triple majored in history, I think I would have. I love history. And one of the most dynamic authors that I've ever read is W.E.B. Du Bois. Mm-hmm. And, you know, him talking about double consciousness. And I had this Black feminist thought class that I loved in college. And I wrote this like 10-page paper about if I could reinvent his idea of double consciousness, I would make it triple consciousness, because it's like sometimes people have a hard time seeing you as multiple things at one time. They want you to choose one. It's like, no, I want you to choose to be a professional woman. No, I want you to choose being Black. No, I want you to choose being a woman and then being Black. Like, it's simultaneous. Mm. And so those identities call for different things out of you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think as women, as I grow up, because we're all growing up, right? As I grow up, I'm realizing that becoming the woman that you want to become, it is a rough journey. Mm-hmm. You have to have all of these hats. It's like you're juggling. You're literally a juggler. Like, that's what you do all day. You're trying to figure out, do I want a career? What do I want that to look like? Okay, I need to provide for XYZ. Okay, I'm still trying to figure this out about myself. And somehow, like, the world thinks that you just are supposed to, like, magically, like, flip a light switch and be like together. And then when you're not together, it's like, oh, well, she just, I don't know. I mean, I guess she just, well, you know what? Yep, you right. Mm-hmm. Yep. Because I'm still just trying to figure it out. I mean, I lost my mom when I was 19. My first year of college, I lost my mom. All of a sudden became the co-guardian of two girls. And so it's funny because my identity started to become something completely different than I saw for myself. I mean, even now, you know, now I'm preparing to become a wife, and that's in its own right. That's like a whole thing. And even in that, I'm like, okay, so now I have to reprioritize. Like, I'm like, okay, now this is here and this is here. I feel like I'm just like a jigsaw puzzle that somebody keeps cutting out.
I will tell you, there is so much wisdom in even recognizing that different roles require a new self-image, that you need to evolve your self-image. Because when I got married, I didn't know what you just said. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that being a wife meant its own thing, and that there were ways that I was going to need to learn and grow and morph to allow that to become part of my image of myself and the truth about who I was. Ooh, it was painful not knowing that, man. Oh, man. I mean, I think that's where we get blindsided, when we don't even have the awareness that we're going to take on a new thing. We're going to do it. We're going to try something out. And it may require a different vision of who we think we are.
And that it's okay to be molded a little different. It took me a long time to realize that I just need to be comfortable being alone, like, with myself. Mm-hmm. Like, it was crazy. Like, I didn't like silence. I was one of those weird people who wanted to, like, keep the TV on because I just wanted to hear someone else. And my grandma one time was like, just be still. Like, literally, just be still. You can't even figure yourself out because you're too busy having so many other things thrown at you. Just, like, spend some time with yourself. And now I'm like, okay, I'm still learning that. Like, there's still times where I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Like, oh, this is what I like to do. This is who I want to be.
So I have a question for you, ladies, because you both have experience in the church. How do we think that religion or your experience in the church helped or hurt your self-image? I didn't have any, like, big, terrible church baggage. Mm-hmm. I did go to church growing up, and I would say it was more be nice and chew with your mouth closed. You know, it was more like be a good kid. Mm-hmm. It probably also gave me an idea that I was less free than I am to actually explore who God made me to be. Mm-hmm. That is not a message I ever got in church. Mm-hmm.
I think what I really appreciate, because I think I have to separate it, right? Like my what I've gotten from, quote, the church and with my relationship with God and my mentors in that. Mm-hmm. My mom played a big part in that. My mom never, she instilled decency and order. That was mm-hmm. two things that I kept hearing since I could remember. Decency and order, decency and order. Those things, always heard them. But my mom was really big, both my parents were really big on me being Alexis. Like, they knew since I was a baby, I had this big personality. I would work a room. I'm a ham. That's just how I am. Mm-hmm. And there was never going to be a time where, like, they wanted me to feel like I couldn't.
When I came to know Jesus is when all of that got shuffled around. I didn't understand that that's what he was going to do, that he was going to set me free to be who I actually was.
Wow.
Yet he just said about his work, because that's what he says he's going to do, you know? And so that was a really, that was an amazing understanding later to kind of look back and go, okay, so when I began following Jesus, what I signed up for was he's going to break me out of jail. Oh, wow. He's going to take me out of the things that aren't really me and show me who I really am. I was thinking about this interview and I wrote this down from 2 Corinthians 5. I love this. And it says, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though once we even regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. That was very much my experience when I entered a relationship with Jesus because I didn't know it was going to be. I did not understand that the boxes I had put myself in were not actually me. Mm-hmm. Wow. And some of them were close and others were really far away, but he actually made somebody new. Mm. Did you go through anything, any process of kind of pieces of you that he brought back to you or kind of showed you?
I was thinking about what you guys were saying, and I, you know, again, kind of went back to what my dad said to me. He generally just affirmed me. And so I just believed it. I hear women talk often about not having a father mm-hmm. and it being difficult to see God as a dad, mm-hmm. it was very easy. I mean, the moment that I heard that, I was like, oh, yeah, I totally get that. So I wouldn't necessarily equate that photo and that time, but right. I would just equate who he was to you. Very, mm-hmm. very, I mean, it's, I was like, oh, that's who he is. Yes, just like my dad.
Yes.
And what I recognize about my dad is that he is in no way, shape, or form perfect, and he has failed, and he's probably failed me, and I know that he's failed other people. But when the essence of who he is, to me, is so godly, it's mm-hmm. so like God, that it was very easy for me to connect that dot.
And believe him.
Yes.
When he yes. told you things about yourself.
Yes.
Because yes. that's what we're after. That's what we all desperately need God to tell us yeah. is, please tell me who I am.
Yeah.
Because I need that, because I really don't know yeah. without it.
Yeah.
So give us an example of a way that you now understand who you are a little bit better after
yeah.
Knowing Jesus.
I mean, we talked about me being a single mother mm-hmm. and how I used to hide that and would not necessarily correct people if they thought I was divorced. I just have never been married. And how he has allowed that part of my story to be used and transformed, how I know that I've been forgiven, how I know that he is redeeming myself and he continues to redeem my family. I just see it differently now. I used to see it as a place of embarrassment or shame, even though my earthly dad was like, it's all good. We got you. I was like, yeah, but the rest of the world don't got me. Like, they're not going to believe this. They're not going to go for this. And for sure, coming to work for a church, I mean, I've been here for 7 years. I just assumed at some point somebody would tap me on the shoulder and say, we made a mistake. We totally made a mistake. Not that I want anybody to go through that, because it's mm-hmm. just difficult. It's really, really hard to be a single parent. And I also see that there is freedom and God redeems on the other side mm-hmm. if you continue to bend your life and bend your family's life towards him and not towards what the rest of the world says.
It makes me think about what, Alexis, what you were saying earlier about becoming a wife. It's a piece.
That's right.
He's about to broaden your image of who you are and teach you how to do it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you can't not be mother. You are mother. That's it. You had your child and she's amazing and you're her mom. And it was like he went, I'm going to show you how to make that part of your identity in a way that That's feels right. good.
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. that you don't have to be ashamed of. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Alexis, you have lots of wisdom. It sounds like you had the benefit of growing up in a house that really helped you know who you are. So if I'm listening and I feel like I'm either discovering that for the first time or maybe I just want to do a better job being who I really am, what would you say are some good things to notice, to do, to be thinking, to be praying? What advice would you give our listeners?
I think my very first bit of advice that I am still learning myself is to be graceful with yourself. Sometimes we just don't give ourselves grace. Like, I didn't realize that I was so hard on myself. Mm-hmm. I thought that was what made me tough and that was going to help me. But I had to realize that if I don't give myself grace, how do I even learn how to give anybody else grace? Mm-hmm. So that's like thing number one.
As soon as you said that word, I just feel relieved.
Absolutely.
That is so relieving.
Yes.
That's the word that always comes to me with the word grace is it's a relief.
Just know that it's a journey. Like identity is not a destination because it's always going to change. You never know what God is going to allow to be in your life, not mm-hmm. to be in your life. So I can't be the same Alexis when I was dealing with my mom first passing mm-hmm. that I am as now I'm preparing to become a wife. And I can't still be that same Alexis when I prepare to start a family of my own
right.
or be in other atmospheres. Like, we are multifaceted people. Mm-hmm. God is a creative God. I think that's my third thing, is understanding that I only need the validation of God.
We do have a destiny as followers of Christ, and it's to be conformed into his image. That's it. That's the whole game. And weirdly, he creates us in a way that we actually represent a piece of who he is. And our whole life process is trying to peel off all the crap and all the layers that are
yes,
preventing us
yes.
from being free enough to behave in the way that he put us here to behave, which is him.
Mm,
him.
That's
and
it.
That's if we know anything about our image and our journey of self-image and self-discovery, it is that it isn't ultimately going to end in me. It's going to end in him. And that's where we're headed if we can allow him to do his work. So, man, it's been so much fun talking to you.
Love talking to you guys.
I feel like I have a new friend.
Yes. This is awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming. It's been a pleasure. IKR is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio. We always love to hear from our listeners, so drop us an email at ikr@crossroads.net, or you can find us mostly active on Instagram at @IKRpodcast. Our music is thanks to Mae Klingler, and you can find more from her at mayklingler.com or on Spotify or iTunes. You won't be sorry you did.